as entrepreneurs, that is our duty, is to equip the people that come into our ecosystem with the tools, the resources, the trainings that they need to become absolutely lethal and then create the life that they want. Because like, how selfish is it of us, you know, to say, this is the place you're going to be and stay for the rest of your life? Like, that's crazy. That's crazy to think that way. Like, your team is going to move on at some point in time. So give them everything that they possibly need to have success if they do leave you. But when you do have that mentality around, hey, we're going to equip people for the future, they'll stay longer. They'll stay longer with you because they respect you.
What is up, everybody? We are back in action. The Agency Algorithm, Nick Shackelford, Joshi Kobayashi, and we are going to go explore a little bit of personal pain, actually. Like, we are going through some stuff internally that I, A, didn't anticipate, B, didn't think of. It's we're arguably in the quietest months of the year, right? Like, it's not January, so there's not a bunch of new contracts coming through. There's not a bunch of churn going on. It's not February where, like, you're getting up and running for fall or Valentine's Day campaign, so there's not a lot of work to be done. We're in this, like, weird dead period of March. We're literally halfway through, and Q1's ending, so there's targets that need to be hit. So what pace are we currently at? And so a lot of the stress that falls upon the agency or falls upon the team that's doing a lot of fulfillment usually is in the team that's fulfilling. It's not necessarily on, like, how much new business coming in on the business development side, the sales side, the paid ads. And so what we're experiencing right now, and I don't know if this is because of our size, I don't know if this is because there are a change of culture that needs to kind of get kind of cut out or updated. But we are in this weird space where, like, it seems like every week we have our traction calls and we have a lot of these conversations around what do you as the employee need to continue to grow, but also tie them to performance outcomes. And we're at a place where, like, we operate within the pod structure. So if anybody's unfamiliar with the pod structure, we'll do an entire call on that or an entire podcast on that in the future. But we have the right amount of execution done. Well, there's usually, like, a bottleneck within the pod structure, and it's usually around content, design, or execution. Those are, like, usually around the three things in it. And so right now, the flip-flop of this is, like, when you have one of your employees that are choosing to leave, which we had two recently, one specifically where this is being impacted, and their off-board is not at a place where the next person that's taking the spot is in a place where they can kind of run with it. This relationship to client is so rocky. And so now what I'm experiencing is I see some of that gave us our 2 weeks, which is normal. I appreciate that. Thank you very much for giving us that time off or the time to kind of get you backfilled. But if you're not intentional with that offboard and getting the next person up to speed, there's a lot of relationship, especially in the content space, where you trust that creative mind that's giving the recommendations to know them. So as soon as you introduce a brand new perspective, you're like, well, where does this person fit? We're experiencing this right now as we speak because the person that's backfilling is now overwhelmed because they're getting up to speed. Yet the client needs to have the understanding that there's good processes in place for no issues or no balls to be dropped. Yet there's still this, like, uncomfortable dance that's going on right now. It's been a rough week.
I'd be lying if I said that this doesn't happen at pretty much every agency to ever exist. So I don't think the pain that you're feeling on that side, Shaq, is one that I think our audience can also relate to at some point in time. Or if you can't relate to it,
good
you
luck.
Just wait.
Yeah, yeah.
You just wait. It's coming. It's coming at some point, I promise you. But it's like you do what you can, right? And it's not necessarily anyone's fault. A lot of times media buyers or, important staff that fulfill on the day-to-day, like, their opportunity at your agency is a stepping stone. And I think we have to come to this realization that this is nobody's, like, this is not a life career for someone, right? They're either going to find a solo brand that they might want to stay with long term. The agency space is just giving them that broad experience that they needed to figure out what it is that they actually want, right? So with that being said, some things that you guys can do if this does happen on your side, is going to be one, just instant, clear communication with the clients, right? Like that has to happen of like, hey, this person is exiting. We have someone to backfill the position. And of course, like you guys do what you can on your back end to find another person quickly. And that's why like recruiting is so important for a size of agency that you guys are running, right? Is like, you have to be able to backfill someone within 2 weeks. Like you have 2 weeks to do that. And for that to happen, probably you need to have job postings out all the time. Like you guys are probably in recruiting mode 24/7. Recruiting doesn't stop.
Never not recruiting.
Yeah, exactly. And so when you're starting to get the size of agency that Shaq's at, it's like the recruiting arm never stops. And so you constantly have to find people. But if you do run into these situations, just know everything's going to be fine, right? Like how many times do you think that this has happened to you in your career, Shaq, or someone that is a kind of like a key player or is running the fulfillment of a good group of brands ends up leaving? Like how many times has that happened? Because you've been running the agency for like 7-8 years.
I think that this happens at least once a quarter, like a good quarter, because the average life, especially if you're in, because okay, you have to kind of like, you look at retention of clients, you have to look at retention of employees, and you have to look at like the traditional growth path for employees in our space. And so you have acquisition. So they are a media buyer, they own the channel, and then the owning the channel usually leads them into a growth strategist position, which means now they're owning the channel. I mean, they're leading one person that manages the channel, but they're speaking to client. Okay, so then the growth strategist trajectory goes two different paths. You either manage more or you move into a director role, and then you're managing a bunch of people that manage a bunch of things. And the thing that you find out on acquisition specifically, there's a lot of people that love executing, but they don't love the managing. And so they actually aren't set to build or manage. So there's two different types of feeling, especially in the performance marketing space. It's a fairly new space. Well, you have email, you can have like a head of design, you can have like a head of execution, you can have head of strategy, because these are pretty consistent because they're running usually a playbook that might vary depending on design or might vary depending on niche or industry to its small degree, but there's really going to be like baselines. But in paid, because you're always on the cutting block, because there's always new strategies coming in, because you have to kind of be really, how they say, like bleeding edge, you have to be leaning forward on all this stuff. There's a lot of churn and turnover, and the average life in an agency on a paid media side is like, you'll be stoked to be an employee for more than 2 years. Like if they can stay with you and you can progress them along, whether they're managing more, or they're managing more brands or managing more people, you've done something incredible, because it's so hard. And what we notice, a lot of people usually use, and Taylor famously at Connell Thread talks about it, is like he always publicly says, like, come use us as a trampoline. Come use us to get to where you want to be. And it's not uncommon for a lot of the people to come in, learn these skills, get battle tested, go through a couple Black Fridays, jump to a brand, make a little bit less, same, and work with one team. How do you say no to this? Like, this is just the path.
Or, I mean, even we've seen it on our side. Like, we've had media buyers go and stop working with us just to kind of start their own boutique agency where they're working with four brands. Yeah, exactly. 3-4 brands. And, you know, they're making 15, 20K a month. And they're like, cool. Like, we're chalking it up over here, like living the lifestyle. They're able to travel, do a little laptop lifestyle, which is totally fine. It's like that. I think as entrepreneurs, that is our duty, is to equip the people that come into our ecosystem with the tools, the resources, the trainings that they need to become absolutely lethal, and then create the life that they want. Because like how selfish is it of us, you know, to say this is the place you're going to be and stay for the rest of your life. Like, that's crazy. That's crazy to think that way. Like, your team is going to move on at some point in time. So give them everything that they possibly need to have success if they do leave you. But when you do have that mentality around, hey, we're going to equip people for the future, they'll stay longer. They'll stay longer with you because they respect you and they want to give you the full effort and energy towards helping you build your company. And you'll probably get 6 to 12 months extra out of them versus trying to handcuff them to their desk and say like, this is your spot. And if you even think about leaving, I will go scorched earth on you and make sure you don't land in a good spot ever. Like, no, that's the wrong attitude to have.
You go like this. It's like, you know, them coming in, they are already, they're using us to a degree, because it's not a family. This is a team. And when people say like, you are a part of the family, like, dude, it's such a thin veil of bullshit that is because something is not going on here. Like, there's something wrong. There's something that's like, what's going on here? Like, family, like, no, it's not family. Like, dude, we are a professional sports team. Like, you have to operate in a professional sports team manner because we have to produce, you have to put points on the board, which is revenue in the pocket, right? Or you have to retain them, you play good defense. And then at the end of this, all is said and done, you wear a jersey that says the team on the front with your name on the back. It can never be your name on the front. And I ran into this. I commented, Taylor was like, is it Nick at Common Thread or is it Common Thread's Nick? And I was like, I think it's Nick at Common Thread. And that's when the jersey spins around and it's your name in the front, is when it's time for you to realize it's time for me to grow and do my own thing or reassess and realign on objectives. And so when I literally had a phone call before you and I jumped on today. And I was talking to her and she was like, I just don't know if this is what I want to do. And I go, this is going to be work. This is not going to be easy, but it will be worth it because you will learn and you will continue to grow and you will serve your team and your clients that you are a part of. But I can't tell you to stay because if you feel a certain type of way, you're essentially trying to convince someone in a relationship to be like, no, you should love me because of this. If they don't innately have this, it's never going to work.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what builds resentment, right?
Oh, that's the number one killer. I think especially in the digital world where a lot of our employees and what we do, we won't really truly know if they have other things going on because they're logging into Slack. Like I can't look over to their screen and be like, why are they working on this? It's not a client of ours. It's a very, I need you only enough relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And something that you mentioned was really just struck me in a certain way was we're not a family. There's a book called It Doesn't Have to Be Crazy at Work. It's written by the founders of Basecamp. Basecamp is project management software. One of the largest project management softwares, very simplistic in the way that it runs. But they wrote this book called It Doesn't Have to Be Crazy at Work. It's an excellent book, but there's a quote in there and I will never forget it. It's like, they have a statement, when people sign or people join their team that says, we are not a family. We are supporters of families. And it's like, that is what you are as an entrepreneur. That's what your business is to your employees is like, you guys are not a family. Okay. Cause that's unfair. Cause you would take a bullet for your family. Yeah. Like your mom, your dad. Yeah. Would take a bullet for our family. Right. Now, why would I expect my team to take a bullet for this business? That's crazy.
It's crazy. It's crazy. It's unexpected. It's a weak way of convincing someone to put more work in.
Exactly. And that's exactly that frame is like, you're expecting them to put in something that they have no tie to, that they have no equity in. And it's like, you guys are not a family. You're a supporter of the families of the people that you employ, right? And that's how the business should be built. And that's how you should treat your employees. They're not just going to be people that jump into the day-to-day and they just grind and grind and grind, right? That's not the expectation. Like, the expectation is that we are putting them in a position to win always, but that in a position that keeps them full. And so when they do go home to their families, they have stuff to pour in to their family, right? Because you can't pour from an empty cup. I think we all understand that phrase, right? It's like they go home empty. They're going to be miserable at home. When they're miserable at home, they're going to be miserable inside of your company as well. And they're going to hold resentment towards you in that business.
I think, and especially now, it's very interesting relationship when you have fully remote team around commitment and what is expected. Like you lay it out, which we all have. We have etiquettes, we have expectations, we have all these things laid out for it. And what we've experienced more and more as you continue to grow, as you continue to acquire other companies and those cultures come in, there's a period of time where like, okay, well, we have to come together. We have to do what we need to do. And you pick your head up every once in a while. You're like, that person doesn't actually fit where we need to go. And so the feeling of, well, they're getting the job done right now, so we got to keep them because I don't want any of that uncomfortability of if they leave, so-and-so has to pick up more slack and we have to explain to clients. But if they stay, that energy and that execution is actually more detrimental to the fact that you might have to pick up some slack. And you might have to cover for them because they're not going to be there. But again, if you're just an employee executing and you see so-and-so to the left of you or so-and-so to the right of you, and you aren't in this mindset of like, we have to keep the shit moving forward and we have to continue to just perform. And they're just like, well, it's not really my business. So I'm just going to keep doing what I need to do. It's all the owner or it's on anybody else, which is why I love partnerships, that has clarity into what is expected on a day-to-day, step up and be like, that's not good enough. We need to fix this. Even if it's uncomfortable.
For sure. And I think one way to kind of start wrapping this episode would be just talking about, hey, how can we best support our team in this? We do one-on-ones. It's been one of the most impactful things that we've ever implemented. I actually have, immediately after this podcast, one-on-ones with my direct reports. It's going to be great. It's one of my favorite things to do. It's the best way to cap the week as well. Like, I always do them on Fridays. I really love ending the week with one-on-ones. But when I go into these...
What do you do in these?
Yeah, so when I go into these one-on-ones, I have a list of questions, and I won't remember them all off the top of my head, but I'll give you a few of my favorite that have really stuck out with me. One is just checking in on them personally, right? Hey, how's home life? How's things going internally with us at the company, right? Just checking in.
What happens if they don't open? Like, they don't want to share this. What do you do?
Yeah, I mean, you know, ideally, and we build a lot of rapport on these one-on-ones. We do them once every other week. And we build a lot of rapport on this. And for us, like, our company is still relatively small. But the way that I kind of communicate in these meetings, I will share vulnerabilities on my side as well of like, hey, here's some things that like we're trying to conquer that vulnerably, like we haven't been able to yet. And like, this is where I'm also trying to fit you into the puzzle. So it's like future casting their position of like, hey, this is kind of like what we have envisioned for you. But also it's like, what do you want? Like, what do you want on this? Like, is this cool? Like, hey, if this is a stepping stone, cool. How can I help you get there? Like, that's a conversation I have with my team every single one-on-one of, hey, how are we contributing to the vision that you have for your life? Is it in a positive way or are we going away from it? And if we're going away from it, I'm not doing my job as a leader in my business. I need to make sure that my team is getting filled with what they need in order to hit their goals. So if they want to stay with us long term, awesome. I love that. Cool. What are we going to work on internally that's going to fill up your cup here? And I'm going to make sure that we're progressing towards that consistently, right? And so by asking questions like that and having conversations around where they're trying to go versus it constantly being this like, well, let's check in on the KPIs. Are we in alignment this week on KPIs? Nope, we're a little bit off. We got to pick this up a little bit, right? It's not that at all. Like, that's not what I check in on, right? If I have to have a tough conversation, they know it's coming, right? Normally these conversations are check in personally. Hey, like, how are we doing mentally? How are we feeling? Like, are you feeling stretched thin? Give me this, because I'm going to help you get through it. And sometimes at the beginning, it's hard for them to open up. But that repetitiveness of me coming back every single week and genuinely caring about their well-being and me just being able to figure out, hey, what pieces of the puzzle are we trying to put together? I'll tell you one. You know Tyler Armstrong. He won't care if I share this with everyone. So Tyler Armstrong is my videographer. He's been on our production team for over 2 years now. He worked with me in the agency as well. Super sweet kid. But man, it has been two of his major goals to buy a new truck. He wanted a Tacoma, and he wanted to move into a new apartment. He's living in a really rough area just outside of Nashville. And he's like, dude, I want to get out of here. Like, I want to move to a nicer apartment. And I was like, dude, we're doing it this year. 100%. Okay. And this was last year. But last year we met the goal of him getting into his new apartment. He lives in a really cool 2-bedroom apartment, a really nice area, really safe. Right. So it's like, cool. That's the goal for his home life. How can we get you there? Okay. Second thing was the Tacoma. And he just bought his Tacoma 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, something like that, because his other car kept breaking down and wasn't super reliable. And so now he has a reliable home. He has a reliable vehicle as well. It's like, he was so stoked about that. And I'm telling you, when you can align what they personally want with what they're doing at work, right? It's like, if we can get them the stepping stones to get there, you will get the buy-in that you will never believe.
Well, and it's crazy. It's like, as an employee, it might feel weird expressing what's happening at home for fear of view or fear of what they're going to take or do with that information. But the downside of you not expressing this, and if things were to go wrong or things are rough at work and they don't, and you can't express what's going on at home life, you and your wife, your husband, a baby, family, mother, sickness, like, if you can't express that, context is so valuable, especially in a very human and very people type business like us in the agency world, where as much as it is IQ, it's even more, right? As much as the context is needed for you to kind of work through scenarios or problems, there's so many different perspectives that happen. And there's a lot of silo feeling of like, I'm working on my computer right here in this room, that if you can get that connection of like, here's what I'm going through in my life, and here's what might actually be a mental block for me before I get into the work. I think that's so important. And I would encourage more people, even if you are like us as the founders or us as like leads of areas, the way, as soon as we go first, that should be reciprocated. And if it isn't being reciprocated, that's actually a feeling for you to go like, why do they feel like they could share this with me? And then you really have to do some searching inside of this.
Yeah, 100%. And dude, like we challenge our team a ton. Like we are on them. Don't get me wrong. Like it's a very high accountability, but it's like we challenge them in such a great way. And when you can show them that the accountability is leading to personal wins, that's when you get them to open up. So if you guys are struggling with your team opening up to you, get them some personal wins. I promise the floodgates will open to them telling you exactly what's wrong, how they're feeling, if you're not getting the emotional buy-in. So it's like progress them in their goals, right? Whether that's financially, okay, that could be, you know, for them getting a new vehicle, right? Whatever it is. If you can show that you care about progressing them, and then when you check off that first one with them, right, that first goal, it's like, dude, like they trust you wholeheartedly, right? They're like, cool, they got me to this one. Why wouldn't they be able to get me to the next one?
And I would say even thinking through it, because I just went to check a message because I have a one-on-one on Tuesday. And so some of the questions that I bring up, and I haven't brought it up to you yet, was like, is there something that I am doing? And it's actually known as a common thread. It's a managing up moment. Is there something that I am preventing you for achieving like this? Is there a block that I am providing for you? Especially when you're smaller teams, like a lot of the people that listen in are like a team of 10, 20, 30. Like they're not this 50 plus team, or you might be in a small department that's leading 3 to 5, or you might have a couple clients. Being able to open up with this type of question is like, is there anything on top of mind that you wish I would have asked? Is there anything that you're going through that that you wish I would have went through? And putting it on them to start expressing like, oh, I actually might need you to do these things, or I might actually, you didn't remind me, or maybe you left something that I didn't get to you that I said I'd get to you. Those areas of like kind of calling people out, not to point out their faults, but to be like, hey, you're holding me accountable, I'm holding you accountable. That's such a healthy way of going back and forth.
I mean, I have a requirement on my one-on-ones that someone has to share a piece of feedback with me. Like, hey, you got to bring something that I can improve on as a leader, right? Communication, timeliness. Like for me, it's always timeliness of like, Josh, you said you'd get me this and I haven't gotten it yet. It's like, cool, got it. Like that's where I fall short sometimes for sure. But it's like, hey, I need you to bring me stuff so I can get better too. Cause like, this isn't just a one way thing. This is a two way relationship, right? Like it's not just top down. It's bottom up as well, that I need feedback to get better at my position. And then also that's going to build a ton of trust because they can come to you and say, hey, I didn't like it when you communicated with me this way, or I needed you to get this to me sooner, and it's because of that we dropped the ball on X project. It's like, cool, understood. Like right there with you. Like I need that stuff. And then they start giving me feedback outside of that as well, right? It's not just in that moment. It's outside of that, and it's quick, and we move faster because of it.
I think so. As a major takeaway for anybody that's on this, if there's something that you are doing on your one-on-ones, lean in first to the human element. And then if you aren't getting that like back and forth that you need, there's probably areas that within your ability to share with when setting the kind of culture. I don't want to say culture is in this context just yet, because I think that's a very woo-woo thing, but it's just a one-on-one relationship. I don't necessarily think it's the culture overall, but I think if you can get into a good routine or establishment of sharing what's going on with you, you'll be surprised at how open people are going to be with you.
Yep. Got to build that rapport. And that happens with time and consistency.
I love it. Well, this was super top of mind for me. I mean, I'll give you guys an update maybe next week on where we're at with this, because we're working through the offboard, the onboard, the how do you get a new how do you get the client to kind of understand that the person coming in is already up to speed. We might do like a kind of like a status update on the next one. So I appreciate those questions, Josh, and I hope you have a good rest of the weekend. As for everybody else, if you have any questions or comments, or you're living this agency like with us, we are real time in this, and it is a grind. So I'm glad you guys found our corner of the world. Because agency life is not always as glamorous. Dude, that internet money is just like so difficult.
Yeah, everyone makes it look glamorous. I promise you, it's not an easy game. So just stay consistent and you'll come out. I promise.
Heck yeah. Well, shout out to the Punisher guys that help us produce this podcast. If you guys listen to where you can find us, Spotify, we're on the YouTubes, we're on Apple, iTunes, all those things. Hope you guys enjoy it. Back in action. See you guys next week.